Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adult Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean. Other host, Danny. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I'm actually surprised you're awake and alert today. Are you you're getting used to your new adult hours or lack of adult hours?
I don't know what I would call it. I would call it stupidity. So I'm not a responsible person, Danny.
I mean, when we don't know that.
Especially
reproduce.
Yeah. Especially when it comes to sleep. For those that don't know me, I hate basically sleeping. It's a waste of time. I know your body needs it, but that is the only thing. Like, I don't dream. You know, you have to do this whole hassle on getting ready to go to sleep. It's just very irritating. You know, think about all the time, extra time you would have to do, play video games and do different stuff if you didn't have to sleep.
You know, responsible stuff, like play video games and watch anime.
It's called research for the show, man. Research for the show. So I was working third shifts this week, and I was off. I'm off because I only had one night off the previous week because of the two shifts I have to run. I had Friday, Saturday, and Sunday night off. So I was trying to figure out what was going to be the best way to go to try to flip my schedule. So on Friday night, I get home. I stay awake until like noon for some dumbass reason. I sleep 4 hours, and then I basically I'm up Friday night, and I go to sleep, and I get up at 7 a.m. So I'm now like, I went from third back to first shift schedule. So yesterday, like last night, I was, you know, I was playing games, and I'm like nodding off, like I'm starting to nod, like trying to play, and because it's like 10:30, 11, I'm starting to hit the wall because I was up at 7, and I haven't slept much in the last 2 days, so I'm hitting the wall, and then I'm playing, and then my friends Quattros and Quills hit me up, and we start playing some Ghost. I was like, all right. So I hit my second wind. You know, at this point, I've had an additional 2 cups of coffee so I could stay awake. So, you know, I survive. I survive the night. And now it's like my second shift bedtime. Like, it's 4:30. You know, I need to probably get to sleep. So I decided to watch anime, Danny, until 6 a.m.
I mean, that seems like something a responsible adult would do.
And then, so, you know, my girlfriend has to go to work by 11. She has to be there at 10:30. So I get up and kind of take the dogs out. So I've only slept maybe like 3.5 hours, 4 hours. I let the dogs out. I'm laying in bed. I'm like getting sleepy. But I'm waiting for her to leave so I could go to sleep, because I don't want to like try to go to sleep and then get like woken back up, you know what I mean? And I basically end up fidgeting around on my phone and basically waking up, and I've just been awake since basically like let's call it like 11. So I was like in bed, like I ended up like watching more anime, like, oh, I should probably sleep, and so I'm like, I guess I'll sleep for like another 30 minutes like before my alarm goes off, and I'm just like, and then I just feel it like in my stomach, it's like, I'm hungry, no, not time to sleep. So I'm like, all right, fuck it, I guess I guess after staying awake for 22 hours, 4 hours of sleep is good enough for me. So that is why I sound so awake right now, is because I've actually been up, because I am not a responsible adult.
Which is pretty funny that you're dealing with this, because, like, just this morning on the front page of Reddit, there was a one of the posts was a study that lack of sleep has the same effects on your mind as a concussion. So, you know, if you stay up after this, you can watch, you know, the Packers play in the playoffs. You'll know what it's like to be one of the football players when they get hit in the head.
That's too stressful, man.
They're experiencing the same things.
Yeah, I can't watch that, man. I'd be too stressed out.
Well, at least you won't sleep. But that's your goal.
Yeah, true. That is true. Maybe I'll actually try to do some stuff around the house. You know, eat lunch. You know, go scoop the yard. Responsible adult of things.
You know, it's funny though. Like, both of us kind of work jobs where we have odd. We don't exactly have banker hours, right?
Not all of us could be MP Johnson.
Right. And so, you know, as I'm like driving to work at like 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever, and I see people out and about, I'm like reverting back to what my parents taught me about, you know, between certain hours, if anybody's out and about, they're up to no good and they're causing trouble. So I see people out and I'm like judging them for being out. And then I realize, wait, I am out as well.
Maybe all those people were just going to work too.
Yes. Or like the new thing that's been popping up on Reddit is the whole thing about parents telling their kids if they don't go to school, then they'll end up like them, like those people. And it's like, I probably make more than you. Shut the fuck up. And I didn't have to go to school.
Right.
Or like, you know, the realization that it's like teachers are like, well, if you don't pay attention and study hard, you're going to end up being a garbage man. And someone's like, I just realized that the only reason that was a threat to my teacher is because they were just pissed that the garbage man got paid more than them.
Right.
So what are you drinking today, Sean?
Again, I'm not responsible enough to drink old stuff. So this week, I got a special box from the Faja. So from Weldworks Brewing, I got Ice Sponge. It's a sour wheat ale brewed with strawberry puree, toasted coconut, marshmallow, milk sugar, and Ice Sponge cookies. Whatever the fuck that is. What is Ice Sponge?
I have no idea. Sounds like oddly specific. How is it spelled?
ISPONCH.
Let's do some research. Oh, they're like Spanish cookies.
Yeah.
That have like the frosting and stuff on them, like the they actually pretty good. They have some that has like marshmallow cookies with coconut and strawberry.
Yeah, I didn't know a sour could be sweet.
Well, like they're starting to do that where they like throw like marshmallow or like the brewery did one that your dad drank recently, yeah. The cherry pie one that actually like surprisingly tastes like a cherry pie.
Yeah.
In an amazing way, not in a weird, gross way.
Yeah, this feels like I'm drinking like a super sugary drink. And it's like I feel like I'm going to have a stomach ache from all the sugar that was baked into this. So you take a drink that you definitely got like the sour tartness is there, but it's like subtle, and then you just get blasted with all sorts of sugary hints. The toasted coconut does really come out though. So if you do not like toasted coconut, I wouldn't drink this beer because that is a very dominant flavor as you're drinking this.
Right. And that seems to be like whenever there's a coconut in, for me at least, I'm not a huge fan of coconut, but I can definitely taste it when it's in there.
Yeah, it's definitely on the back end. So like you get tartness, you get sugary, fruity notes. And then as you kind of finish your gulp, sip, whatever, that's where you get that flare of coconut at you. So I mean, it does taste pretty good, but man, it just feels like I'm drinking like a kid's sugary drink at the same time though. Like, that would be my only, that would be my only thing. Like, I couldn't drink a lot of this. Like, this would be much more, like, a fun sampler. Like, I'm glad I have water with me today to kind of, like, help me get through this.
Right, and that's the argument a lot of people have against, like, the milkshake IPAs or even, like, some of the hazy IPAs, that they're just so heavy that you can't drink more than one and sometimes not even...
I'm knocking over ink, printer ink.
Dude, it must be nice to be that rich. You can just fling around, like, thousands of dollars like that.
Because you had a bad day. Tell me don't lie.
Oh, man. But, yeah, it's you know, there's, like, and that's what I, my point, my thing is like, there's beers for every occasion. There's, like, the all-day drinking, sipping beers, and there's beers that you're just going to, like, almost like, you know it's going to be a dessert beer, and that's all you're going to have.
Mm, yeah. That's fair. So what about you, man? What are you drinking?
I'm actually drinking almost on the opposite end of the spectrum of the sour, Sean.
Oh.
Not because it's, like, super sour, but it's just really, like, easy to drink, refreshing. My only complaint that it's not as carved as I would like. It's a little flat, but still good. So, but it's still better than it being, like, overcarbed, where it's a gusher, where you open the bottle or can and it just sprays everywhere. It's not a squirter. But it's from a Santa Adarius Rustic Ales. It's called Cask 200, and it's named after their 660-gallon oval cask. It's a celebration of unexpected and an experiment in variation. Each time we package a portion, its contents, fresh beer is added back to the cask to mix and referment with the aged beer still inside. Well, the Solera-style saison will vary with each bottling. You can expect a delicious malt base supported by funky yeast-derived flavors and a dry, acidic finish. Santa.
Hmm.
Yeah. I'm really glad that Santa Adarius ships. It's a six. It comes in a 750 milliliter bottle, and it's 6.5%.
Gotcha.
And so they're, like, based in, like, Northern California, and, like, so they put up beers for sale. Like, generally they always have their easies on, but they'll put, like, a 3-bottle pack of their saisons, and then it's, like, $18 to ship overnight. And it's generally you have to jump on them pretty quick. They sell out. And unfortunately, they only ship in the state of California right now because of, you know, ridiculous beer laws in other states.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of which, man.
What?
I was listening to a beer podcast, and they were talking about a brewery up in Jersey.
New Jersey, New Jersey. Fuck you, bitch, from New Jersey.
Now I can't find it. I saw it earlier, and then I lost it.
I stalled for you, man. I don't know
you what did. You did. I don't, and I appreciate the help. How far is Ocean to you, Ocean City?
It's probably like an hour and a half. It's on the south side of it's one of the south beaches, or it's, I guess all the beaches are technically in South Jersey. I think for the most part.
But they said it was, like, basically, like, the best brewery in New Jersey.
Hmm, really? That's a bold statement.
Yes, and I'm sure I'll find it later, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, well, I guess... I'm trying to remember what part of where Ocean City was. I feel like we drove through it trying to go to Cape May. I feel like I'm right. Because it sounds very familiar.
And Cape May is in Ocean City.
Is it in Ocean City?
Yeah, yes.
I feel like there's an Ocean City, though. As well. That's what I was like. Is it Ocean
City? Oh, that's in Cape May. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. See, there's an Ocean City. There's like a peninsula between Atlantic City. It's like the next big one, and that's Ocean City. I've also heard some good things. I thought Ocean City was a dry section, though. Like, you can't drink in that area. Somebody told me that.
Maybe you can get it to go.
Come on over.
See, I'll find it right here. It's Kane Brewing with a K.
Interesting.
Kane, like the wrestler, like Undertaker's brother.
I'll have to check this out. I don't know if I've heard of it.
Yes, so you check that out.
Oh, it's an ocean township. Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, that would make more sense.
They ship to Pennsylvania, so you can, but I don't think they deliver. What county are you in?
Camden.
Because on Thursdays, they do home delivery on Thursdays to your place of residence.
Oh, wow, look at me. This is actually a lot more north than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, this is nowhere near Ocean City, so, okay.
Yeah, it might be worth ordering and paying for the shipping if you know if you or the lady is going to be home on a Thursday instead of driving the 3-hour round trip plus. Especially since you can't stay there and drink.
That's true. Yeah, well, I think Ocean County is different than Ocean City. So Ocean City probably does have the regulation, but this is like pretty far from it. So
it's pretty far from OK. Mm-hmm. Like it's not even close to Oklahoma at all.
Something like that.
I saw somebody do that. They made that meme from Pulp Fiction. It's like, do you live close to Oklahoma? And then they had Ving Rhames from Pulp Fiction. No, I'm pretty far from OK.
I'll add it to the list of places to visit during 2021.
Or, like weather. I said, just go on their inner websites and have them bring it to you.
Yeah.
Whether at home or at work. Or both.
Hopefully when I'm home.
I mean, you can drink it on the way home.
That is true.
Oh, he's got to be dumb about it.
Oof. This is getting harder to drink.
Oh, man.
I'm going to have like a sugar rush going.
You're going to get the diabetes?
Yeah, I'll be like, I'm hyper.
Sweet. Lack of sleep and a lot of sugar. That'll make a fun for the last ending of the show. Stick around, folks. Here, listen to Sean deteriorate as the show goes on.
Speaking about sugary, I was going to just say something like that, too.
Gotcha. I get you to it.
Speaking of sugary goodness, what do you got, Danny?
So, you know, in keeping in theme with our past episodes, I saw a new flavor of Oreo and decided to, you know, try one for the podcast.
Yeah, what you got?
So it's Brookie, which is, for the non-diabetes havers, is a thing that's a combination of a brownie and cookie.
Interesting.
So basically, the Oreo had, like, the normal cream and then, like a little, like, a second layer. It was almost like a double stuff, but so, like, one layer of the normal cream and then a layer that was half, like, chocolate cookie and half a half brownie, and half chocolate chip cookie.
Oh, dude. That sounds pretty good.
Except it tasted exactly like a normal Oreo.
Oh, that's kind of depressing.
Because what is an Oreo but chocolate and cream, right? So you just added more chocolate to it. So it didn't – like, my wife and I both had some, and she was like, it just tastes like a normal Oreo. So, I mean, it's not bad because if you like Oreos, and it's not like it costs any extra because it's, you know, seasonal. So it's – I'm not saying, like, if you see it, don't buy it. I'm just saying, like, don't feel bad if you don't get a chance to try it. It's not anything really special.
Oh, got you. No, that makes sense. Yeah, that's the I haven't found like a good Oreo store yet. Like the grocery store that was around that I shopped at, they were all about. They always had like a display, like, and the display would move around the store, but it always had like the most up to date seasonal ones. And like out here, like my grocery store just seems to like not have it together. I haven't found like a grocery store that just flips Oreo cookies like that other one did, so it's a little disappointing.
You don't have an Oreo lover as a buyer in that store?
I guess not. They're like, fuck these cookies.
Yeah, like sometimes it's hard for me to find them. Like when I bought these ones, it was like just one or two packages left after I grabbed the one that I grabbed. So I think they just buy, like, one or two cases of it, and that's it.
Yeah.
Because maybe they've been burnt in the past by, like, the shitty ones that, like, they buy, like, a whole bunch and nobody buys them, and now they're stuck with them.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, man. But then, well, it's, like, the same trip at the grocery store while I was in line. I just happened to look over at the, you know, the impulse buy of cold beverages by the cash registers.
Yeah.
And they had a seasonal flavor of Mountain Dew, Sean.
What seasonal flavor did you get?
Which is weird because it's limited flavored, but it's not correctly seasoned. Because it was watermelon flavor, Mountain Dew.
Interesting. Well, the Red Bull made their summertime watermelon like a just ongoing flavor. It used to be it was last year's summer flavor, and now they just have Red Bull red watermelon.
Right, which makes sense if it's like a normal thing, but because even like Shasta has watermelon flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But for Mountain Dew, it's like, hey, look, seasonal and it's like, dude, that's a summer thing, but whatever, I'll buy it. Because I know my wife loves the watermelon. I didn't think it tasted as watermelon-y because it, like, the Mountain Dew flavor kind of shunned through a little bit more the lemon-liminess of it.
Mm-hmm.
But my wife also has some leftover Captain Morgan watermelon rum that when added to it, she was very happy.
Gotcha. You gotta get online, and AJ is a huge, he's really big into drinking different type of liquors and stuff and flavored stuff. Like, he actually, there's the distillery by his house, he actually has or by his place or in his area, does like all sorts of different like flavored stuff. But he ordered like some kind of expensive drink from Scotland just like last month.
I think he might have been the one that posted it in the somebody posted it in the chat about the, what was Iggy Midomi,
yeah,
posted that they had tried it like right after I tried it, and that's when I posted the picture of the watermelon rum that has the scratch and sniff package on it. Oh, man. But yeah, dude. You know, you're saying he ordered something expensive. I got a little bougie, Sean.
Did you?
I ordered two bottles of soy sauce and a thing of, like, the Luxardo cherries for fancy cocktails on Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
And it was $110.
Jesus.
Like, the bottles of soy sauce were, like, $40 a piece.
Fuck, dude, that's some expensive ass soy sauce.
They're like from Japan. One of them is like cherry blossom soy sauce.
Okay.
And so I was reading the reviews, and there's like one review where it was like, "This tastes bad. There's something wrong with it." And so we got that one first. We actually got that yesterday. We're still waiting on the normal one, which is But so I tasted it, and I'm like, okay, yeah, this definitely you can taste the cherry blossom in it, and you can smell it. It doesn't taste like normal soy sauce, but that doesn't mean it's bad. I just think the one guy that gave the 1-star review was an idiot and didn't know what he was ordering or read instructions. He just thought it was going to taste like normal soy sauce.
Yeah.
Because it even has like a nice like rosy color to it. You know, it doesn't look like that dark black soy sauce. It's more like, almost like a maraschino cherry juice that's been watered down.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's like, I don't know if I'll eat it like with the savory things, but if I just want like a bowl of rice with some soy sauce on it, I think it would be pretty good. Microsoft got everyone's panties up in a tizzy, and then they immediately, like, not only did they backtrack, but they even, like, went even further back. Like, they left the room, they jumped into a room, scared everyone, and then they went back, like, two or three rooms from where that they started.
Yeah, they did.
Because they announced they were going to raise the price of Xbox Live to, what, was it, like, $120 a year?
Well, no, yeah, it would be a year, but they didn't advertise it like that. They said they were moving it to $60 every 6 months.
Yes. Or measly raising it by so much every month. Like, they tried to, they tried to hide the full charge. To which the internet promptly replied, "What the fuck?
Fuck you, bro."
I'm from New Jersey.
What happened. Yeah.
And so, not only did they be like, you know what, you're right. Just kidding about the price. Like, That was total miscommunication. Like, we weren't gonna, that was just in the planning process. Like, we never officially were going to do that. We were just, like, thinking about doing it. I don't know how that information got released. And not only that, but all the games that are free to play, like, you don't need to have Xbox Gold to play them online anymore either.
They had to really backpedal on that one.
Dude, because I remember, like, for a while, like Netflix and all that, like, you didn't have to have gold to watch Netflix. Like, I don't
know. Oh, you have to have, really? You have to have gold to watch Netflix?
But I think, like, for some of the free-to-play games, like, you didn't have to have it either. And then there was even a point where, for a while on the 360, when Netflix first came on there, that you could open a lobby and, like, invite friends in, up to a certain number of friends, and you can all just watch the same movie.
Oh, see, that's pretty cool.
And then they got rid of that. And now, like, they kind of sort of have something like that with Amazon Prime.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, now with that, is that everybody in the party has to have Prime. Whereas with the original Netflix thing, like, as long as you were, like, in the party, you didn't have to have Netflix.
Interesting.
Which is probably why they canceled it. Because it's like, wait, 8 people are watching a movie and only one of them's paying for it? Nope. Yep. Oh, man. But speaking of free-to-play, Sean, I think we both jumped into the same game without planning about, like, planning necessarily, but we kind of felt, I guess, the internet drew us to play it.
I guess I don't know about the internet. I saw Quattro's playing this, and he was interested enough in playing it that where he created, we got a little sub-channel for it in the playground. So it's a Genshin Impact. And so this is a free game. So, which, you know, whenever there's a free game, there's always a catch, right?
Gotcha.
Nothing's free. So I'm playing through the campaign right now. I'm at level 15. It plays like an adventure game. You have your character. You pick either you have to pick one of the twins. It's a guy or a girl, and then basically you get blessed.
On the count of three, who did you pick? 1, 2, 3, girl.
The girl.
Fucking weird, man. I mean, I knew you did without even talking about it.
I picked the sister. Yep. Yep. So I don't know. I'm making through the campaign. It's a third person. So you get like different combos. You end up meeting some people. They're in your party, but they're not really. They're in your party. They're not really in your party because you could only play as a single person. But then you could switch. And among your group of four with a hotkey to and then each of them all have like they run a different element. So part of that is, you know, there's different things that you have to do in the world where you can unlock chests and stuff, but you have to use a certain element to get it. Then certain enemies have certain weakness, so that's pretty cool. They do have like wishes, which you could pay for to get wishes, and these unlock other characters. I guess basically, once you kind of get into the end game content, I think this is where we're going to see a lot more issues, where, you know, it's going to be a lot easier to do certain dungeons with only certain characters that you could get. So it's basically, I was telling Quattros, like, the characters I have, and he's like, yeah, they're all trash later on. I'm like, well, thanks. And some of them, like, don't work well together because you could do, like, I guess combos. Like, if you use, like, a power, like an ice power or something, and then you go back and use flame, it does, like, bonus damage for melting. Right. But some of the powers, I guess, just don't sync up between characters. So there seems to be a lot more stuff going on behind the scenes. So, I mean, overall, like, I enjoy the game. I mean, the story is relatively interesting for an adventure game, and there's a lot of different things to do, and you know, there's some leveling you have to do to unlock the campaign. So you have to, it forces you to go do some exploring and side quests to like level up so you could do the main story. So I thought that was kind of cool, or fun. And I mean, that's really all my impression. I haven't been able to get into some of the more complicated stuff yet, but I mean, the game plays well. The art looks pretty good. I mean, it is kind of more of a JRPG, so
Oh,
it's more anime.
they were gonna say a super weeby.
Super weeby game. So it's definitely like more anime style, but I don't know. I mean, I think everything seems pretty cool. What's your thoughts?
Like a couple months ago, I tried to download it on my phone. I downloaded it on my phone, and I would try to open my phone, and it would just like this go black, like the screen would be black, and then it would just close. So I'm thinking either. Like I'm just thinking I needed the newer phone because I still have the iPhone 7 because I'm a peasant apparently, that even though I can afford, $40 bottle of soy sauce. But playing it, like I've only gotten to the point where I just unlocked the four characters, the beginning four, and I had read some stuff. I've been reading stuff on Reddit leading up to me playing it. Like I remember there was one guy talking about how he his the route that he took to beating the game without spending one dime. And that but that was a while ago. I couldn't find that on Reddit anymore. Like it's been buried because of so many more posts. But then the other thing is that people are complaining about with the new characters, there's a power creep. And then of course, there's the post where people are explaining why the people who think there's power creep are wrong and what power creep really is. And then posts explaining to the people that are explaining to the people that power creep is not happening, why they're wrong, that power creep is happening. Because the basic argument is like power creep means that like the new characters make every single like a new once a new character is to play released, that means like you can only play that character because it's so powerful and it makes all the other characters trash. Versus like as they're getting into their development cycle, they're like actually like more fine-tuning the way they develop characters. So I don't know. I mean, it's fun. I don't know how much time I really want to sink into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I'm gonna get through the campaign and maybe play a few dungeons, and I think that's where I'm gonna cap out at. I don't think it's gonna be a serious playthrough.
Like for me, this seems like a game that I would want to either have on my phone or like on the Switch.
Got you.
Like I don't think I would sit at my couch with my console with games that I've paid more like paid money to play that, maybe have more compelling content. But like if I'm out and about and I just want to like run around and like because even like the I don't know about later in the game, but like the three dungeons that they had us do in the beginning for the temples, like they're what, 15 minutes long at max?
I don't know. I haven't been able to play one. I think I just unlocked one of them for because I got to level 15.
Oh no, I'm talking about like in the beginning when you unlock the three characters where you have to go
Oh.
when storm when whenever the Stormbreaker shows up or whatever and you have to go to the temples.
Oh yeah, you select like yeah, because the temples are like regurgitated basically. Like you have like story missions, and then you have like trials that you do, so.
But the map doesn't seem very big, so I don't know how much longer they'll be able to be in the future, other than the only thing I could think of is maybe the enemies are just stronger.
Yeah, I don't know. I got asked to like go run to this other town, and it's pretty far to like go to the other guild leader.
Okay.
So I don't know, maybe they expanded it lately. So, cause
Maybe.
I'm like, fuck, how am I supposed to get all the way over there? Cause you have like your C shape, and that's kind of like your area. But then like on the bottom left, like it seems like there's like more area to go run and explore down there.
Right, but I'm just saying, like you can, unless you hit a long mission, it seems like it's something you can just jump in and play for a little bit and bail. Like if you did it, we're playing like on portable, like if you're traveling somewhere or doing something like that.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, you're ahead of me because I think I'm only at like level 8 or 9 or something like that.
Gotcha. Yeah,
So.
Sawtrust, I think, is like 40. He's towards the top, so.
Yeah, I mean that's what I guess that's what happens if you've been playing for a while, or you have no life. I don't know, or Super Weeb, or the quarantine. It's like the it's this is like the weebier version of Animal Crossing for people. The freer, weebier version.
Yeah. It happens.
So, on I forgot to write this down the last couple weeks, but on New Year's Eve, there was a social media post on the social media for rapper MF Doom, Daniel mm-hmm. Doomiel, that, and everyone thought it was like, not necessarily a joke, but it wasn't like there was something behind it, because the kind the way he's set up his career it wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility.
Mm-hmm.
But the message that was posted on New Year's Eve was that he had passed away on Halloween. And so, as part of his, persona MF Doom, he wore like a mask that's very similar to Dr. Doom's.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime he was in public or performed, to the point where like at some concerts he wouldn't even be there on stage, he would just have somebody else go up there and lip sync dressed like him.
Wow, that's kind of shitty.
And so when people would get mad, like other people would be like, "What did you expect? Dude, he's the villain. He's MF Doom, the villain." So
that's...
when the news of his death came out, it was like, wait, is this like a legit death, or is it like a comic book death? Is it like part of his act? And
yeah.
How come nobody's heard about it for like literally 2 months? Because they told us 2 months to the day. Oh man, but it was kind of cool in the aftermath seeing just the number of people from across different walks of life expressing their appreciation of his music. And the work that he's done, man, he's worked with a ton of different people, whether it's Danger Mouse or Madlib, his raps, like he's very like poetic in his raps,
mm-hmm.
And makes some good points. And sometimes it's comedy and sometimes it's serious. Like on like one album he has, it's called Food. And so like there's a song called Guinnesses, and so there's like a line in that one that's one of my favorites that it's on one of his raps, even though it's like a guest rapper, not him, that says it. It's I should have read some more from Genesis instead of drinking all these Guinnesses.
That's pretty funny.
But then on his albums too, he has like skits, and it's basically like a comic book. Like he's fighting like almost more like Johnny Quest as opposed to the Fantastic Four. But he's Doom. He's Doom in the comics, and like trying to take over the world. His skits make a better movie than the Fantastic Four movies did. His skits treat Dr. Doom with more respect than the Marvel Comics movies did. Well, the Sony, I guess Sony movies.
That's fair.
Oh man, but yeah, it's pretty sad. Like I almost had a chance to see him live, but then where I was, I got like I was able to sneak into like the VIP section.
Yeah.
And he was playing on the second stage, and if I would have left, then I would have lost my spot there. So I had like with the people I knew. So I'm like, all right, I guess I'm not seeing him live.
Yeah, that sucks.
Oh man! But then somebody we met, Sean, once, rapper T. Call, released an album for his 36th birthday called, ironically enough, 36.
Yeah.
He posted it on Bandcamp. It's just a little short. Like, it's longer than an EP, but longer than I mean it's. Yeah, longer than an EP, but shorter than an LP. It's like 7 songs.
Mm-hmm.
He's very much influenced by MF Doom. He even calls himself the villain as well, which... But he raps about video games, wrestling, and smoking blunts, which, at least I can relate to 2 out of 3, you 1 out of 3.
Pretty
we'll
much.
We'll let the audience guess. But yeah, it's and he has like he co-hosts on a wrestling podcast called Matt Mania,
mm-hmm.
And there's another rapper Megaran who we didn't get a chance to talk to at the show when you saw MC Chris, but he was like one of the opening acts and T Call rapped with him, and then one of the other guys on there the name he goes by is G1 to the Rescue, and he's a producer, so G1 to the Rescue and T Call like are the ones that did this album. G1 produced it, T-Call rapped over it.
Mm.
It's on Bandcamp. You can name your, I think it's like $10 for the albums. It's definitely worth it, especially if you go on like one of the Bandcamp Fridays where the artist gets all of the money. But yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I remember we talked about this this website.
Yes.
Before.
And like when we saw Teen Call, like at that point he only had one song about Mr. T.
How many does he have now?
He has a few albums now.
Okay.
Nice. Like he just kind of was like starting his like releasing stuff, and he's also been named by this. You know, they like newspapers do like the fan voting of like the residents polling of best things in the area or whatever.
Yeah.
And apparently they have in Phoenix they have a best rapper category. So he's been named the best Phoenix the rapper in either Arizona or Phoenix, like two out of the last 3 years, with Mega Ran stealing one of those in the middle or at the end.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, he was a pretty cool guy. Like him and IQ from Florida, who at that time was getting ready to release a whole album based on Attack on Titan.
Yeah, that's that would be pretty intense.
Man, I'm sure he's on Bandcamp as well. IQ, but it's spelled E Y E Q, not like the intelligence, but like ICU. The I to C. Speaking of weeb shit, Sean, you know it's fun when like major companies like Wendy's has like somebody like edgy doing their social media. Like Wendy's seems to be the one that mainly does it right, to the point where other major corporations try to get their social media dudes to be edgy and like post memes and joke and stuff, and if you don't have the experience, it can go very, very wrong.
Yeah.
Like the tweet that Netflix released when they announced that they were going to when they announced that Demon Slayer was available on Netflix. They posted a picture of the sister, right?
Mm-hmm.
She's younger, right?
She is younger than him.
So they posted a tweet and they said, you know, I can't remember exactly what it said, but basically they said, now that Demon Slayer is on, you can Netflix and chill with her.
Oh, what a poor choice. For so many reasons.
Yes. Like, I worked with this guy and he got hurt and he was out when that whole Netflix and chill became a thing. Yeah. So he missed out on like all of, and he's not like an internet Reddit social media guy. Mm-hmm. And so he came back and he had no idea what it meant. And so people were like talking to himself and asking him how he spent his time. And he was like, oh yeah, you know, me and the dog, we just hung out and we Netflix and chilled.
Netflix and chill was like one of those things where you knew who was on the outside of the joke or the idea. It was very obvious.
Right, because he had heard the expression Netflix and chill, but he didn't know what it meant. And so, like you said, you could tell he was trying to fit in and just use the term, but didn't know what it meant. Especially if you're going to Netflix and chill with your dog.
Pretty much. Uh-huh.
And so that's one of those things, you know, we can't let him forget about that, ever.
Come on, bro, I didn't know.
Because he had to go back and have like surgery to like fix like some of the, because he had broken his ankle and they had to put like screws and stuff in it, and so he had to go back because some of them were like coming loose or something. So as it was winding down to his, you know, last days where he had to go back out again, people, you know, and by people I mean me, were like, so you and your dog setting up a queue to watch when you guys Netflix and chill,
get some extra blankies going on.
Yeah.
Maybe some bubbly wine, fancy wine.
Yeah, make sure you have like, you know, your couch is laid out so that you can comfortably spoon. Oh man. So
we watched Danny. Yeah, I did watch some stuff. So before I wanted to tell another story cuz I figured it was fitting. So like last night, like we were playing some Ghost, you know, killing some people and stuff, and I noticed like at one point it turned into a I don't like this anime. Let's see if it's a you know if Sean liked it kind of a conversation. So they would talk about like the premise of like this anime and like give me the name, and I would basically like be like, oh yeah, I've seen that or I've heard that, and this is what I thought about it. And I was just like, Man, what does this say about me now? Like, why is it that it's like, if anybody hates the anime, it's like, oh, Sean probably likes it.
Yeah, probably. Like, you're like the Mikey of anime, of bad anime.
I guess so. They're like, well, I think you'll get a little bit triggered because Quatras was like, yeah, I couldn't get into this anime. It didn't really make any sense. He's like, he would kiss these girls and give them power. It's called Date Alive. And I'm like, dude, I love that anime. And wait, hold on. If you're going to fucking make fun of the show and not like it, at least say it right. It seals the power away. Come on. And so it was like, it just seemed like for like 2 hours, it was just like, just back and forth on different random animes. And I was like, yeah, I saw that. Nope, I saw that. Yep.
So you had actually them on the actual premise of the show?
Yeah. Like, because we were talking about some of the other shows, Redo of a Healer, which we're going to talk about here shortly. And we were talking about just other different stuff coming up. And it was just, it was pretty fun, but I was starting to realize, I'm like, man, I guess I'm the only one that really likes some of this stuff. Like,
I mean, they released multiple, like, figurines and, I guess multiple figurines of different styles. That's, I couldn't think of, like, something else, but figurines of, like, whether it's the Android or the, like, the super expensive ones or the little more inexpensive, like, prize ones that you can win at the crane machine or whatever in Tokyo.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, because I was, like, telling Quattros, I was like, dude, I love Date Alive. I don't know what you're talking about, man. I even got a figure of Princess. So, it was pretty, I just thought it was pretty funny because it just seemed like for 2 hours straight, it was just like, we were talking about different animes and it'd be like, oh, I bet, I didn't really care for it, so Sean must have liked it.
Yeah, Sean has horrible taste. Let's ask him if he liked it, because I thought it was garbage.
Pretty much. I just think Quatros is too fucking picky, maybe.
Or, I mean,
or he's just a different kind of scum.
I mean, just because he's the new Gecko doesn't mean he has to be completely different than Gecko. They both have horrible taste in anime.
Right?
Because, you know, it's like, oh man, watch the show, it's amazing. And even you were like, yeah, that's not that good. So, you know.
That's funny.
Definitely dislike it.
Yep. So the first anime, Tonora no Seki, Seki-kun, the Master of Killing Time. So they basically, there's 20 episodes out. They're about, what, 9 minutes? Seven and a half minutes long, so it's very easy to watch. And the whole premise is from this girl that watches Seki-kun basically goof off in class and do different activities instead of like paying attention, and in every episode she gets sidetracked and gets way overly involved in what he's doing. It's honestly, it's pretty lighthearted and wholesome, and it's pretty funny, and I like how she always gets like in trouble as well. Like Seki-kun always figures out, like, gets it cleaned up or dodges the bullet for whatever reason. And she's always like, I hate him. I'm never going to pay attention. I'm not going to pay attention to him. And then always somehow gets sucked back into what he's doing. I thought it was pretty funny and a little, it was different. And I think that's what I liked about it. It had a very simple premise, nothing too fancy, but it was still like well done.
It's very, like, relatable because, you know, whether or not you're the kid in class that paid attention or you had to deal with the kid in class goofing off, or as an adult even at work, you know, you're working hard and you look over and see when your coworkers just goofing off and, like, you know, they show up late all the time or, like, they take extra break time and stuff. But then you, like, you come back because you're normally someone they can count on. Like, you come back from break, like, a couple minutes late and they're like, why are you back late? And it's like, why are you yelling at me? That guy hasn't even come back yet. He comes back like at least 5 to 10 minutes late every day. But the one time I'm late, you come over here and yell at me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you can definitely relate to that, like that frustration. But this is actually the only anime that I watched every episode with my wife.
Wow.
Like, I watched the first two, and so she jumped on from three on, and we went back and watched the first two because she wanted to see them.
Mm-hmm. She thought it was pretty funny.
Dude, enough for her to want to watch it, yes. Like, normally it's pulling teeth to try to get her to sit and, like, even watch one episode. But then, like, as the girl was, like, getting more involved or getting, like, whatever, my wife decided that she's a wackadoodle. But one of the things I love about the show is the opening credits is him animating the show.
Yeah.
And there's three episodes where they bring in robot toys.
Mm-hmm.
And those three episodes, my wife noticed that they changed his hand expression at the end of the opening credits.
Oh, really?
Yes, because there's normally, like, she does, like, the last little bit of the song. Like, he'll pull out, like, she's, like, he does this animating, goes on the computer, colors it all in, and, like, is typing stuff up and hands her a script. And then, like, she looks up from the script, and there's a microphone in her face, and she does the Yamate. And then, like, the teacher looks over, and normally he, like, holds his finger up, like, wait, shh, don't get caught. But the ones with the robots, he does, like, the okay symbol with the smile, like, you did great.
Interesting. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. She noticed it, and then she saw it on the third one with the robots, and then she's like, wait, go back and at least, I just want to watch the opening credits on the first one with the robots.
Yeah.
Which was probably my favorite episode, the disaster drill. Because he's got these, like, three, like, Transformers. It's, like, Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, and I don't know who the other one would be, but, like, they set it up to being, like, dad, mom, and the Bumblebee's, like, the kid. And so he's, like, playing with them, and then they do the disaster drill, and she looks over, and he's not under the desk. He's sitting next to it.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you doing? And then she looks under the desk, and there's this small desk under his desk with the robots doing the duck and cover under the small desk. And so, like, she makes up this whole story, and there's even, like, a theme song about how the dad wakes up late, and so he doesn't have time to drink his coffee before work, but then when he comes home and he helps the kids study, and...
No, it's pretty lighthearted. It is pretty funny. I thought it was pretty funny how the girl behind them narrates one episode and, like, has, like, this giant, like, misunderstanding of the whole thing based off, like, her perspective, because there's no communication between the characters. It's all just dialogue basically in her head versus, and there's a few times she, like, yells at him, Sekakun, to, like, pay attention, but for the most part it's just like a monologue in her head talking to herself,
right? Like, at the most, like they just exchange looks.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, she thinks that they're in love because at one point something happened and there was, like, a rumor going around that they were in, that, like, because, like, I guess she, oh, he, like, was doing, he made, like, a post office and she went to give him a letter and, like, it wasn't conforming to the size and this and that. And then, like, finally she went to give it to him and it was closed for the day. And so then she put the letter in his locker, and that's what they thought, it was a love note.
Yep. Yeah, so pretty funny anime, pretty easy going. So definitely worth, if you're looking for something a little bit more low key, definitely something worth watching.
Right, it's on VRV or Crunchyroll.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man.
So for the next one,
actually, real quick before you go into these, I just want to say, I don't understand what it, I mean, I guess I understand in a way, but what's the point of releasing quote unquote mature rated content if you're not going to show any mature rated content? But I mean, and I say that for the first one, because only having watched the first two episodes, I don't know how much it gets, but definitely in the next one after is more what, like, has got my, Jimmy's in a rustle.
Oh, got you. I don't know. I think it just depends on what's going on. I think there is a lot of, usually if it's about that content, even though it's not showing anything, like, any kind of, like, sexual, like, descriptions or anything, it gets it, like, bumped to mature, even if it's, like, more harmless than not.
Right, but like, why are you going to put this big old like TV MA on there for the first like for like 5 or 10 seconds and then not show anything? Either right. My point is either do it all the way or don't do it at all.
I don't know. Probably because people complain that they don't give them a warning, so they just give you a big fuck you.
Well, like, if you want to watch it, you have to change the settings. So it's like the argument of, well, my kids could see it. And it's like, well, then change the settings so your kids can't see it.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man.
I don't know. So the first show is, what, Hug and I Don't Have Many Friends?
Yep. Yeah, so this has got to be one of my new favorite harem shows of all time. It's literally has everything you could ever want. You know, childhood friend, rich kid, crazy girl, sister, trap.
You got Lolly. Don't forget the Lolly, who's also a teacher, right? The Lolly's the teacher, right? So of course they have to make sure that it's like no, she's the old by far. Like everybody in the show is underage except for the teacher, who's also the Lolly.
Yeah, the teachers, but the Lolly is 10 years old. A 10-year old teacher.
Wait, okay. See, I haven't gotten that far yet. I've only watched 2 episodes then. Okay, that makes the opening credits. Well, for me, a little bit more weirder, but I'm sure some people would find it a little more hot, I guess, inspired to watch the show.
Yeah, and so basically, you know, this group of misfits, you know, they all go to this club because they're trying to make friends, and they talk, and like every meet and every episode, they're basically talking about and coming up with ways how all of them are going to go out and, you know, practice making friends with people. So it's like, that's the part that I think I love about it the most, is like the premise is so dumb that it actually fits, because like, you know, they're hanging out all the time and none of them they don't consider each other friends, just like, you know, group acquaintances as they practice, like, and there's all sorts of issues. It is kind of funny because, like, the Lolly and the sister always fight because of, like, who's going to be, you know, who's going to have the younger sister title. So it seems like it's really only, like, a triangle romance between two of the characters, where the rest of them are just kind of there for, you know, to fill roles and to make things funny. But it's definitely, like, really ridiculous, and I've really enjoyed this show.
And so, and based on that and what this the conversations we've had this whole episode, that Quatros would think the show is trash.
Probably. I don't recommend anything to him or Quills at this point in my life.
True. I wouldn't either. I don't know. Like I said, I've only watched the first 2 episodes, so like the first one is where they kind of form the club with the 2 characters, and then they add the third girl, and then the second one with the video game, and then like, do they continue the bickering, the first 2 girls, the rich blonde and the...
Oh, the whole time. And those are the 2 girls that really have the love interest with the main character. The rest of it is all just like kind of more silliness. But yeah, they literally bicker all the time, and so does the Lolly and the sister. Like, okay. They bicker all the time. So like, so if that turns into a thing that you don't like, then I would probably just stop watching it, because it will continue. And there's a second season, so
sometimes it was like a little too much. Like it's like, but I was thinking maybe as they added more characters, they wouldn't have time to focus on just the 2.
Yeah.
Like in small doses, pretty funny though.
Yeah, no, it always seems like they just go at each other. So, but there is, like I said, a second season, so I've only made it through the first season, so I'm looking forward to seeing what the second season happens, because there's a major, kind of revolution in the last episode, or in the last, basically, 2 episodes.
Revolution?
Reveal, but like it adds a lot of complexity, so I feel like a lot of the things that were happening, like a lot of where season,
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
That the first two girls were really close friends at one point.
No.
Okay. I thought that was going to come at some point, that they were like, and that's why, because like the brunette was like, the reason why she didn't have any friends is because you can't trust anybody because they'll just stab you in the back. And that's why they like were back and forth, is because at some point they were friends, mm-hmm. and now they just like each other.
Yeah. No, you'll have to just watch and see. So I'll be interested to see where it goes. I'm sure it'll just be another open-ended ending, like in any other love story thing.
Oh, speaking of open-ended mm-hmm. and garbage animation.
Yeah.
I watched every episode of Princess Resurrection that was like on VRV.
Did you watch the movie? They don't have episode up there. No way.
Yes.
There's another episode and you can't watch it?
Because it's like the last the episode I watch is like coming up on the next episode, and then there's nothing. It ends. There's like, and like when I looked, Googled it was either like 26 or 27 episodes that they made, and there's only 25 episodes up there.
And it doesn't include the movie?
No.
That's different. Wow.
I don't know
what to tell you, man. All that time for fucking nothing.
Oh, man. I mean, it's not like it's the first time it hasn't happened. I've seen memes of people talking about that, like watching an anime and realizing that it's like more than a few years old and there's no second season, which means there's not going to be a second season.
Yeah. So is there like an episode like you just have to go to the dark webs to find, or is it just like they never made it?
No, according to the interwebs, they made it. I might have to go like predict laws to find it and watch it.
I think you're going to have to, man. You went this far, so.
I know. But like I said, dude, like Mondays I have stuff I need to do, and so I just want to throw something on where like I can mostly kind of pay attention, and this show was like super shallow, and like you really didn't have to pay any attention to really understand what's going on, so that's, I'm like, all right, I'll watch it when I'm not watching, when I just have stuff on.
Gotcha. Well, both of the Funimation homework assignments I gave you are both dub, so you could throw something on the background tomorrow.
Sweet. Oh, man. But then you hit me up, and it's two episodes in, Sean.
Redo of Healer. And this is the new controversial anime of the season. Again, we have another dark fantasy anime that has made its way in. And it has started to make some serious noise, as far as, like, you know, what is allowed and what's too much. And it's basically a lot of, and it's got a lot of people kind of talking. I don't know if it's kind of made it outside of the anime world yet.
And I haven't seen it on Hero High, but he's been talking about the upcoming Miss Nagatoma, and like after being done talking about Uzaki-chan, so I'm surprised he hasn't talked about this in the middle.
Yeah, it's got to be coming up then, because this really kind of this anime really kind of took off on Wednesday when the new episode aired. So it does update on Wednesdays, so that's probably what it is. Because episode one just kind of really sets things up. Episode two is where all the, you know, the conversation where the shit really hit the fan. And so there is a sense. So you could go onto High Dive, which is under VRV, and watch the censored version. But there is a uncensored version out there on the dark webs that really kind of seems like it shows everything. And it also includes some of the parts that are, they've kind of, it seems like they kind of snipped it to make the PG version, which I think has kind of taken away parts of it.
Right. And that I can't remember what show, one of the shows that it's only like, I think it's the one, I can't think of her name, but the, where she can't study.
Yeah.
I was reading that like those, the episodes are actually longer on the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
But, they had to censor them down so much because of, you know, keeping it family friendly enough, I guess. But like, my point with this one is like, I understand like some of like the crazy shit that happens in the second episode they can't show, But, like, you know, like, at the end of the first episode, like, he's banging all the maids. And they're just, like, showing, like whipping their titties out. And then they, like, they censor it the worst way possible because they just basically blacken the screen. So, like, half the screen is, like, black.
Yeah, dude, that seems to be, like, the new thing, and it's fucking irritating. That's like, what it was in Interspecies Reviewer, too, is, like, wasn't it, like, black screen, basically?
I thought it was a little more just, like they did the old thing where they would just put, like, stars over the nipples.
No, I think they censored it a little bit more hardcore.
Maybe, but it just didn't feel, like, as jarring as this censoring did.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's points where, like, you couldn't even see what was going on. Like, the whole screen was black.
Yeah. Yeah, no, and so for those that don't know what it's about, so basically it's a fantasy realm. We have a main hero, we have a character who wants to be a hero on his 16th birthday, like all the other heroes. He gets marked, like, that he has the ability to be a hero, and he gets his ability read, and he's a healer. And he has a very unique healing ability, which is a lot better than all the healers, but every time he heals somebody, he basically runs through their memories and experiences everything that they went through. So it's a basic, so they're like, so he's, so like if somebody got their arm cut off, like he experiences that whole sensation and pain and everything, so it really messes with them. And the princess of the realm basically gets him addicted to drugs and only gives him drugs like when he heals people, and he's like tortured and beaten and drugged throughout almost the whole first episode, and then he kind of figures out a way to get revenge and executes it, and it sets into the second episode where he's like reliving his life, and he kind of gets his hand on the princess that's basically tortured him his whole life in a previous life and in this life. And it's just very graphic. And even like his in the second episode, you know, there's a lot of it really talks about and shows the different ways he's like getting his revenge. And like torturing her, and it's just very overly graphic, and I think that's where a lot of the controversy comes from, is because, you know, we're literally, you know, in Goblin Slayer we have like goblin rape, and he basically gets after this princess, but then everybody's conflicted because like she's a huge like bitch that basically did all this bad stuff to him, and he's just like so out of his mind now. Like it's not the innocent boy that we met at the beginning of the first episode. It's like basically he's like a lunatic, and now he's just off going to be seeking his revenge because there's other people he's going to get his revenge on. And I was reading some of the comments from people that have read the manga, and I guess like it's going to get worse. So it's like, you know, depending on how escalated this gets, is this going to be another anime that basically gets removed from all the different circuits? And then it's like, going to be, the question's going to be like, if this anime stays, what's the difference between this and pulling Interspecies Reviewer? That wasn't sadistic. It was out there. It was very overly sexual. But I mean, you know, having graphic torture
and it was rape scenes
is okay. Yeah, versus consensual. Like, what's the difference in censorship at this point?
Right, and that seems to be like that YouTube guy Hero High is talking about that, about how, because it was, you know, stories that, because Sony bought Funimation, and that's why, and I'm pretty sure that's why Funimation left VRV, and they were forced to bring in High Dive instead of the partnership of Crunchyroll and VRV on there. But then I don't know if it went through because I haven't found anything. I didn't see anything, but there was story going around like at the end of last year, like last quarter of last year, that Sony was also going to buy Crunchy Crunchyroll in addition to Funimation.
Oh, that'd be terrible.
Right.
But I guess maybe that's why this has seemed like redo of a healer is so much more overly censored and chopped up, so that way they could keep it on these mainstreams versus getting it pulled. So I don't know, maybe it's more of a siding with the man to make it more rated R. So right, maybe that's why it's not getting pulled, because it doesn't really show anything. It's just all sound at that point.
Right, and it's like, well, at that point, if you're going to chop it up so much that you can't see or watch, you can't watch the show, then why have it on your service? Yeah. Why not just, yeah. You know, that'd be like selling, you know, McDonald's, like selling their hamburgers, and instead of like making like selling garden burgers or vegan options, they just say the bun and cheese and no meat.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna spoil a part because I think it helps with this argument. So in the second episode, the healer starts breaking the princess's fingers, right? And he basically tells her that he'll stop if she doesn't scream after breaking all 10 of them. So, you know, and he says that after when he starts on 3. So he goes, you know, 3, and he gets to the last one. And he goes, oh, you're going to win. He's like, congratulations. And he's kind of just talking to her. And he basically goes back. He goes and he heals her fingers and then starts over. And she's like, you know, she starts yelling that she's cheating and starts screaming. And he's like, well, you lost, blah, blah, blah. So in the high dive version, you don't get to see her hands. Like, when I went back and kind of looked at the uncensored, there's a picture or a scene where she pulls up her hand and you could see all 9 of her fingers, like, basically all broken and like in weird positions. So it's right. That's where it's like, wow, dude, this is like way censored and chopped, because I can't even figure out what part that was in the censored version. Like, I know it's in there probably, but that's just how badly it's censored. Like, you just know what's happening. You don't know but you just don't get to see anything.
Right, and I understand. It's weird. Like, I understand that scene not being shown more than, like, the boobs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my problem. It's like, and not necessarily that it's like, oh, I need to see anime titties.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to show a show where, like, the whole screen is anime titties, and then you're just going to black out the screen so where it looks like I think there's something wrong with my stream... you know, it's like, wait, did it freeze? Is there something wrong? Because they do that, like, even Tarantino does that, where they have, like, they set up that the violent act is going to happen, and then they pan the camera, and either you just, like, see, like, nothing, or you see somebody else's reaction, but you hear the sound of it happening. Like in Reservoir Dogs, when they cut off the ear of the cop. You don't actually see it happening.
Yeah.
But you know it happens, because later on you see him, and he doesn't have an ear.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But that, and I don't have a problem, like, if they're doing something, but it's like that for creative or whatever, like to make it more impactful or a different impact. But
yeah,
when you throw that in with everything else they're censoring, which is almost the whole show, then it just adds to the list of, it just doesn't make sense, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the show is very hard to watch on high dive because it's just so blacked out versus, I guess, just being more tastefully done. I don't know. So, I don't know. I feel like this anime is a lot worse than Interspecies Reviewer, but because it's, you know, you can't see it, I guess it's okay to remain on mainstream.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I this makes the argument that Interspecies Reviewer should have been shown, because like we said, it's not violent and it's consensual.
Yep.
I don't know. It's weird. Stupid anime. Stupid Sony and their stupid weird laws of censoring things.
Yeah.
It's okay. They've even done that with some of their games, like their like their JRPG games.
Mm.
They censor a bunch of stuff.
Yep. All right, everybody. That's it for today's show. Thanks for hanging out with us for another fun-filled episode. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Amazon Podcast, Facebook, Instagram, all those fantastic places. Give us a review. Helps with some of the ratings, like on iTunes. Gets us more recognized. Spread the pain. Don't be the only ones that have to suffer through this.
Right. Like, you know, sometimes it's good to talk about things you love, but it's even better to talk about things you hate. And so if you've shared this if you share something you hate with someone else, then they'll definitely want to talk to you about it.
Exactly. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Later.